So what if the Bruins actually do somehow get Leon Draisaitl? Now that could be so just to reset for people who maybe have lost track because there really hasn't been any news, but Draisaitl has 1 year left in Edmonton. If nothing happens, he would be an unrestricted free agent next summer, would pretty much be the biggest free agent in NHL history, certainly in terms of the contract he would get. Also possible, like if talks really fall apart, maybe Edmonton looks to trade him. So I guess, you know, to me, the more likely way that the Bruins could get him, as improbable as it is either way, is just like sign him, just like throw the most money at him. Hope that, you know, these rumors that he's always liked Boston or whatever, or that there's something to them. Because if he got traded, I don't think you're going to be the team that has the assets to really get him. Like, I think someone else is going to be able to offer, you know, more blue chip prospects to start with. But, you know, just to humor us, like, what does the Bruins' future look like if this somehow happens in one of those two ways?
Well, you're going to have to get to find the money somehow, first of all. So that means that some guys are going to have to go. Like some contracts are going to have to get cut in order to fit this in. It's not going to be easy for any team to do it. But I'm sure if Draisaitl was interested, they would find a way. You know, like they wouldn't be like it would be something that they prioritized to try to get done. But I mean, that would be an insane line with Draisaitl and Pastrnak, unless you decided you wanted to split them up in order to like hit teams with a 1-2 punch. But this is Scott's dream scenario, because Scott's always been a big Draisaitl fan, and it's really hard to argue that Draisaitl isn't one of the best hockey players. I mean, he gets overshadowed because he plays with Connor McDavid, but he's so good too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, now that cap friendly is no longer a thing, I'm on Puckpedia, and I'm just trying to see the Bruins free agent class after next season. So Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have, so Marchand will be up at the time the Bruins would potentially try to bring in Draisaitl on a huge contract. Marchand would technically be his $6 million would have to be, it'd be off the books. They'd have to re-sign him. Let's see. So he's a 25. Geeky's a 25 at $2 million. Frederick is 2-3. He's a 25 UFA. Brazo, Beecher is an RFA. Costello. So I mean, I'm trying to go down the defensemen here.
Defensemen are all.
They're all locked up
for a while. Yeah.
Laura's an RFA.
But you. Yeah.
What's Carlo? Carlo's 27, 25, Wotherspoon. Yeah. So, yeah, there's not a ton of big ones, guys. But
so, yeah. So, right now, the Bruins would be projected to have $26 million in cap space after this season without re-signing anyone. But remember, right now, that does not include a Jeremy Swayman contract. So, knock $8 million off that.
Yeah. Like, and how long is
about? Right now, you would have about $18 million in cap space, and like Draisaitl might get $15 or $16 million. So, yeah, just to fill out a roster, you're going to need to free up like, I don't know, $5-6 million more somewhere.
Well, you could get rid of Korpisalo and bring in a younger guy in net. Just an idea. But the problem is if Edmonton knows he's not coming back and they're not trying to go for, because obviously they made the finals this year, so like if they think that this is their year for the Stanley Cup, they're not selling at the deadline, right? Like if they have a bad season, maybe he gets sold at the deadline, but if they have a good season, they're going for their last shot with McDavid, Draisaitl. They're not trading him away, even if they might lose him, like, you know, for nothing. But if they did have a bad season, decide to trade, do you know how much you'd have to give up? Like that, you'd have to give up McAvoy. You'd have to give up. Like there would be big name guys and draft picks, and you would be throwing that direction.
So yes, but the best case scenario for the Bruins is a very, very minimal scenario, I may add. It would have to be that the Oilers are not making the playoffs come trade deadline. Contract negotiations are not optimistic between Draisaitl and Edmonton, and Draisaitl tells the Oilers, like, I only want to go to the Bruins, or because he sees the opportunity and it's a Taylor Hall situation. And in that scenario, yes, the Bruins would still have to give up a ton, but it might be a little bit less than what obviously they would have to. But again, that's a bit of a pipe dream.
Yeah, like I actually think the most realistic way to get Draisaitl is he plays out this year in Edmonton. They're once again a contender, as everyone expects them to be. They go for it. They hang on to Draisaitl because they're going for it. But he goes to free agency. He doesn't re-sign there. And you just have to throw money at it. Like, to me, that's maybe the only realistic way you get him. And I'm not even sure how realistic that is. Like, all this discussion said, and even though I love this question and I love talking about Draisaitl, I do think somehow, some way, like at some point the Oilers are going to re-sign him, because I just can't really imagine them letting him get away unless like he's just done there and there's something going on that none of us have heard, that, you know, that no one in the media has heard, and he's,
or he's sick of living in Edmonton. It's cold. Yeah. And he wants to go somewhere else.
I should say, actually, that's a good point, Scott. The Bruins' best case scenario wouldn't be a Taylor Hall trade type situation, because you'd be giving something up. Like, it would be, just to your point, a free agency acquisition.
Give up Anders Bjork for Leon Draisaitl. I think I would do that.
if you can find a way to only, you know, spend on the players instead of trading away some of your key pieces, I guess that would be the best situation for Boston. But you don't know, guys. I mean, people are human. I mean, he could be just tired of the area. He could be sick of the area, like you mentioned, Bridget.
Yeah, like Johnny Gaudreau wanted out of Calgary. Yeah.
And when you get so close to the Stanley Cup and you lose, some people are like, no, like I'm riding or dying with this team, with the city. It's cup here or no cup at all. Some players are like, yeah, I've just given everything, and I just think we've given it our best bid, and my best chance to win is to go somewhere else, even if that means leaving Connor McDavid. So it just comes down to what the player thinks. If Draisaitl's adamant on staying in Edmonton, he'll stay. It just depends what he thinks.
Yeah, and Draisaitl does have a full no move. So in theory, if somehow it ended up in a situation where they're looking at a trade during the season, like, he would have a lot of say over where he went. But even then, I would point out, like, Matthew Tkachuk had a lot of say over where he went, and by all accounts was pretty much targeting Florida, and Calgary still got a big return. Like, Florida clearly, in retrospect, won the trade, but Calgary got Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. Like, it's not, you know, like, those were top of the lineup NHL players. It's not, you know, it's not like Florida had them completely bent over a barrel and, like, he has a second and third round pick, like, enjoy. Like, no, they still have to give up a lot.
I mean, Huberdeau was coming off of a, what, 115-point season, 20-point season?
Yeah.
And Weegar is a true, you know, top-pair defenseman at the time. So, yeah, absolutely. I guess we'll find out. Now, as it pertains to Jeremy Swayman, who was mentioned a few minutes ago, this next one's pretty interesting, and I think you guys may have touched on it last episode, but the St. Louis Blues offer sheeted two players from the Oilers, Holloway and Broberg. I'm blanking on their first names, but
Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg.
Thank you. And they did indeed end up signing with the Blues. Edmonton did not match the offers, and Edmonton received a second and third round, I think, picks for them. So we were given a question. What if Jeremy Swayman is offer sheeted? And I think, you know, Scott, I think you mentioned last episode to Bridget, a few reasons why it's not apples to apples, and why it's, he would cost significantly more to offer sheet, and there's only so many teams that can do it. Nonetheless, because we just saw an offer sheet successfully happen, and I do believe Edmonton and St. Louis had another additional trade, which kind of
that was the please don't be mad at us trade.
Well, I was just gonna say that that kind of spits in the face a little bit of, like, you know, you can damage relationships. Now, I don't think their relationship is great right now. I'm just saying it was an interesting wrinkle. But I'll throw this what if to you guys and let's discuss it.
Yeah, so let's say this is what happened. Say I think someone would have to get to the sixth and highest tier of offer sheets. So let's say someone comes at Swayman, offers him $9.1 million a year. That's in the sixth tier. The Bruins would get, if they didn't match and just took the return, would get two first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick. So I guess the scenario of, you know, what if this happens is, like, would you take that? Would you say, man, we love Jeremy Swayman, and I don't know what our goaltending situation really looks like without him, but, hey, we'll let someone else pay him 9.1, and we'll take the two first, second, and a third.
And we have Korpisalo as our starting goalie. That would be, you know, that you already traded Ullmark. Like, if this was a question last year when he was an RFA, be like, oh, you know what? It wouldn't be too bad. Ullmark's there. You just extend him instead. But it doesn't seem like that kind of situation now. And also, we mentioned this at the time as well. Not many teams have two first-round draft picks. Is it in the span of time? Because doesn't it have to be in the next two or three seasons? Like, they all have to be. It can't
be. That's worth noting too. So it would be, so the team that is offer shooting Swayman, it would be their first, second, and third round picks in this next draft in 2025, all have to be their own picks. And then their own first round pick in 2026 as well.
So that really limits it, because a lot of teams, they have a first, second, and third, but they got the second from somewhere else, and that's a lot of picks to come up with.
You would have to do what the Blues did and, like, make a trade to get it back. Like,
yeah,
the Blues, right before they made those offer sheets, made a trade with the Penguins to get their own second round pick back, because they had given it to Pittsburgh to take on Kevin Hayes's contract.
Mm. So, I mean, to go from having two number one goalies in Ullmark and Swayman in one season to the next season not having either one of them, I think would be a major mismanagement of assets. Needless to say, I don't think that the picks certainly are worth the departure of Jeremy Swayman at this stage of the Bruins organizational trajectory, along with the fact that you're talking about the prime years of Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak and some others, that, you know, theoretically you could get offer, Swayman can get offer sheeted. He goes to a different team. You collect some picks, and maybe Bussy does turn out to be like a good NHL starting goalie. That's not a chance or a risk that he's willing to take, with the aforementioned parameters of, like, you're talking about the prime years of some players. You cannot trade futures for what is a top five goalie in the NHL right now, in my opinion.
Truthfully, what really would have to happen was, because they're not taking those picks for Swayman, I don't think, they would have to match. Right? Yeah. Like, if he gets offer sheeted, they pretty much are stuck in a position where they have to match. And that means they're probably going to overpay for him by at least $1 million compared to what they wanted, maybe more like $2 million from what they wanted. And then you have to find the money somewhere else. But I really don't see them, for a lot of reasons, roster wise, like, your team is nothing. If you have, like, this entire amazing roster that you put together is nothing if you have Brandon Bussy and Eunice Korpisalo as your goalies. So it would, I don't see it even getting to that point. What would happen is they'd have to match.
Yeah. So I'm curious though, like, for you guys, because I'm with you, I think, say it's 9.1, say it's like that lower end, that's more than I think Swayman should get, but ultimately you probably have to match, just because I don't think you can go into the year with Corpusalo and Bussy. Like, I almost think you would immediately be turning around looking for a goalie, which is tough at this point in the summer. Is there a number? Like, let's say someone just came in and just totally threw, like, a crazy contract at him. Like, is there a number where you'd be like, yeah, you know what? We can't pay that. Like, what if someone comes in at $10 million a year or $11 million a year? Like, makes him the highest paid goalie in the NHL.
I think, yeah.
It's not going to happen, but hey, listen, this is what if Wednesday. Well, so.
I just want to say, because, and Bridget, I don't mean to overanalyze, like, the specific words that you said, but, like, when you say, like, their season would be nothing if it was Bussy and, like, Corpusalo, I mean, I do think that's a little bit unfair. Like, you never know. Like, goalies can come out of nowhere, and I'm not saying they would be better than Swayman, but they would have to get very, very lucky. Very lucky.
Like, the likelihood of them even making the playoffs, I feel, with a team that those are the goalies is low. Like, I feel like they'd have, like, a 30% chance of, like, making it to the playoffs and, like, a 0% chance of making out of the first round if that was the goalie situation next season.
To Scott's question, though, I mean, I think every player has their price. Jeremy Swayman's awesome. He's amazing. But, again, we have to, like, you can't overvalue that extreme. I mean, there's a couple of players in the world that, like, yeah, okay, Connor McDavid, take the entire salary cap. I mean, one thing I thought of too is if you're a team like that has the ability to offer Sheet Swayman, would you do it just to force the Bruins to pay more for their own asset and kind of hamstring them later on, like some gamesmanship like that?
So you can't really operate that way. Like you have to,
cause then they're like, here you go, take them.
Right. Like if you think you're just driving up the price and then the Bruins like, all right, you can have them. Like, we'll take the picks. Now suddenly you're like, shit. Like, do we really want to spend that much on a goalie? Like, are we going to be picking high? Like, do we just give them two top 10 picks? You know, our lot of, like, Toronto for Phil Kessel. Like,
yeah,
it's you can't really approach it that. Like, if you're making an offer sheet to Swayman, it's because you really want him and you're hoping that you push the price to a spot where the Bruins aren't going to match.
I mean, are there any teams lower in the Atlantic Division that are on the rise and they're just stuck behind Toronto, Boston, Florida, Tampa, and like
Ottawa?
The Red Wings and Canadians have the picks to be able to offer Sheet Swayman. That's
like if you're Montreal or Detroit, and like I'm telling you, if you're Detroit, Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo, teams that like, if they were in a different division, could potentially like they're being stuffed out. They're being stuffed down the drain by the top four teams in the Atlantic every single year. And that's a really tall ask. If you're Detroit or Montreal, it's like, I don't know. It's either drive the Bruins price up and F with them a little bit, or you get a true number one goalie, a top, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not too familiar with the Montreal or Detroit's goalie system right now, but there's some teams in the Atlantic that I think wouldn't mind trying to, change the tide in the division a little bit with some big type of gamesmanship move like this. I don't think it's likely. I'm just saying, like, what do you have to lose, right? If you're Detroit, Montreal, what do you have to lose? You get Jeremy Swayman in. Both those teams have good young cores. That could be a big difference. Best case, you get Swayman. Worst case, Boston's now, up against the cap more than they like to be, and that would help you as years go on.
I feel
just like quickly trying to look through this, like the Red Wings actually have the cap space and don't have a great goaltending situation. Like, their goalies on the roster are Ville Husso, Cam Talbot, Alex Lyon. Like,
it's a saying.
I don't, if saying. I were them, like I would think about it. Again,
why not?
It's so expensive that, like, I still don't know if I'd actually do it, but Montreal and Buffalo, I think, are one, they don't have as much cap space to work with. And two, I think they like their young goalies. You know, Montreal has Sam Montembeau, Caden Primo. Like, yeah, I'd rather have Swayman, but they're not – I don't think they're as desperate. Buffalo has Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen and Devin Levi. I think they think that's going to be a pretty good tandem for them. You know, Detroit's – now, I do think Detroit has some younger prospects. I believe they have – why am I blanking? I know they have at least one of the top prospects, though. So maybe they all just feel like they're okay and they don't have to do something this crazy, but...
Let me ask you this, guys. And this is 100% me just stirring the pot for the conversation. This is not... It's just fun to talk about. I mean, put Swayman on Detroit's roster and give Boston, whoever the hell Detroit's goalie is right now, like... Which team is a better bet for the postseason? I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you take away Swayman from the situation, Boston's roster versus Detroit's roster, it's probably not as far away skater for skater as some might think out there, right? And for a lot of these younger teams, they just need stability and goal. And again, when you're talking about the Atlantic Division, that's been just owned and operated by the same three or four teams the last 15 years. Like, or 10 years at least, Detroit, Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo, they're sitting there. They're like, we got to figure out a way to get creative here. And so if I'm Detroit, I don't see why I wouldn't, you know, try something bold, you know, yeah, from the boss perspective, don't want to get there.
So I'm looking at, just to round this out, the Athletics goalie prospect rankings that, like, they just posted last week, I think. Detroit has Sebastian Casa 7 and Trey Augustine 8. So they do have a couple young guys. And I also forgot Montreal has Jacob Fowler coming from BC.
Oh, yeah.
He just had a really good season. So,
oh, he's going to be so, I can't wait to see him. That's not good news for Boston fans. He's very good.
He's got, I know, like all the Canadians' top prospects were like in Hockey East last year.
Yeah.
Like,
and there was a lot of Montreal fans that were at BC games. Like, there, you, I was, like, hearing
and BU,
French. Yeah.
A lot of them wanted to see Lane Hutson.
Yep. Yeah, I was hearing French in the stands last season in a few games.
So I guess to answer the question, what if Jeremy Swayman's offer sheeted, the Bruins would match. But it would create some very unnecessary drama, headaches, and what-if scenarios that, as you just saw in the last 10 minutes, can be fun to talk about, but also kind of anxiety-provoking if you're Bruins fans. So
I'll just say, will never pick up the phone for you ever again if you're Detroit.
To answer my own question, if it got to $10 million or more, I'd let him go and figure it out.
Yeah.
That'd be my price.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, Scott. I'm with you. You'd have to figure it out, yeah. Okay. Is that it, guys? Any other what-if scenarios? I think we're good.
I think that was it.
No, yeah. I mean, we did have a couple others like left over, but we've already run long here. So,
okay. All right. Well, Bridget and Scott, if you guys are all set, we're good to wrap this up.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just mention one more time that we're going to take mailbag questions for sometime next week. So tweet us at the Skate Pod, leave a comment on YouTube. Email us, Bridget. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the graphic. Email us skatepod@wei.com. Any of those.
What are you, somebody churning butter over there? What's going on?
Just squeaked at my house. What the heck that was? I gotta go fix my plumbing, guys. Go figure out what the fuck.
I thought Scott was sitting next to the Tin Man. Need the oil can.
It is what it sounded like. All right, I'm gonna mute myself.
Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you very soon.